Your recording has joined the conference.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to the Circle of Respect Book Club series. We're joined today by author Annie Fox, author of Real Friends Versus the Other Kind. Annie, thank you so much for joining us today.
Thank you, Kelsey. I'm so honored to be part of the Circle of Respect Book Club featured book list.
Oh, great. We're so happy to hear that. So let's just dive right in. This book is one of three in your middle school confidential series, the first one being titled Be Confident in Who You Are, this book, Real Friends Versus the Other Kind, and the third book, What's Up with My Family. What kind of inspired you to write these series and the stories, and what made you decide to write them?
Well, we've all been in middle school, right?
Yeah.
And what we remember of it probably wasn't too pleasant. Middle school is a really hard time, and I've been on the receiving end of email from middle school kids and high school kids for the last 14 years. And so even if I try to forget it, I'm constantly reminded of how hard it is. And it seems to be getting more challenging. And so the emails prompted me in a way that a call for help did. And I thought, gee, if I could write a book that would be entertaining and also helpful, that maybe some of the problems and challenges that everybody faces in middle school might be a little easier for my readers, because I provide entertainment but also tools to deal with some of the issues.
How did you decide on picking, you know, the three books are split up into three very different stories and ideas? How did you decide on which kind of three areas you wanted to talk about and focus
on? That's a really interesting question, because initially I imagined a single book with the main challenges of being in middle school, being 11 to 13 or 14 years old, as separate chapters. But when I put the proposal forward to my publisher, Free Spirit Publishing, a very foresighted editor said, instead of each one of these topics being a chapter, how about if we really focus in on each chapter and turn it into a book? So the table of contents started to become, an outline for a series. And as far as what we chose for the topics, well, again, I went back to the letters that I get from the students, and I literally went through thousands of emails that I have responded to looking for the eight most frequently asked questions. And they were first about self-confidence, how I feel about how I look, why other people's opinions matter so much to me, that kind of stuff. And the friendship issue is huge, and I'm really glad we're going to be talking about that today. So that became a book on its own. And the third book, What's Up with My Family? Well, you know, we all wonder that at some point or another. What's up with my family? And so these seem to become the natural focus points for the first three books.
You know, like you mentioned, you know, it's really hard sometimes, especially when you're in middle school and growing up and going through so many issues. It's hard to distinguish who really are our real friends. Even as adults, we have a hard time figuring this out. And the focus of this book, Real Friends Versus the Other Kind, is just that. So can you talk a little bit about what real friends are and what the other kind are and how you kind of distinguish between them?
It's a really important ability that we all need to figure out who are our real friends, who can we trust, who can we get close to so that we can share important feelings and ideas and secrets with, and know that they will respect our feelings and not blab them all over the school or broadcast them on Facebook or someplace. So that feeling of trust is very, very important. And so we need to, each of us, set up a set of standards for ourselves about what is a real friend and the other kind by default. I talk to students often, some as young as kindergarten, and ask this question, what is a real friend? And even children as young as five will give you a very specific list about mostly how it feels to be with someone who is a real friend. That person shares a snack with you. that person doesn't spill your secrets. That person sticks up for you when you're not around. So even very young children know that. And it's great that they have that very clear idea of what it means to be a real friend. When we get into middle school and our friendships get more complex, sometimes the waters get kind of muddy because someone may be a real friend on Monday, but on Tuesday, he or she is not actually acting like a real friend, and so you're left feeling kind of confused. Are they my real friend or aren't they? So that on-again, off-again thing is confusing. What I tell kids is that you deserve real friends all the time. And if you've got one of these on-again, off-again friendships that's leaving you feeling confused and uncertain, then it's important to take a look at what you might be able to do in terms of getting more of what you want and need in the friendship. I know that it's really hard to talk to friends about what's wrong in a friendship, but I've got tools for doing that in my book, and also my book is filled with comic strips that we can learn along with the characters when they have a little problem with a friendship. How do they handle it? Talking about it is really important, not just talking about it behind the friend's back, but talking to the friend. You know, when you made fun of my shoes in front of everybody, that didn't feel good. I don't like that. Just to be able to say that, not only does it put the friend on notice that that kind of behavior is not okay, but it helps you see that being a good friend to yourself is very important too. Standing up for yourself is a great way to be a real friend to yourself. And if you can't do that, it's going to be harder for you to let other people know what you need in a friendship.
This book, it really does touch on a number of serious issues, especially ones affecting middle schoolers. But to be honest, when I first picked up this book, the first word that popped in my head was fun. This book is so interactive. I mean, I had such a good time going through it. You know, you have quizzes, exercises, real-life quotes, comic strip stories, and even yoga poses throughout the whole book. And each chapter and each page really is different from the next. Can you go into detail a little bit about how you collected some of the quotes from youth, and, you know, where did the comic book strips ideas come from, and how did this contact with youth really format how you shape the book?
Great questions. Well, to answer the one about the quotes, that's kind of easy because, as I mentioned earlier, for 14 years now, I have been helping kids online. They ask me questions, and they never have to wait more than 24 hours to get a response back from me about the friendship issues, about stuff going on at home, about the boyfriend-girlfriend zone, and I'm very responsive to them. So when I need help in a project like this, I send emails out to kids who have regularly knocked on my door for help and tell them that I could use a quote for a book that I'm writing, and give them a topic. For example, one of the things that we talk about in the Real Friends book has to do with a time that you made a mistake in a friendship and you were sorry for it. You know, you regretted something you said or did in a friendship, and I wanted a bunch of those quotes so that my readers would know that they weren't the only ones who ever messed up in a friendship. And so I literally put out a survey to about 100 or 150 kids who have written to me recently and said, I need your help. You know, how would you answer some of these questions? And the emails poured right back in because they were happy to do me the favor after I had helped them so many times. And that's really where these quotes come from. They come from real kids who are in middle school right now dealing with these issues. And I have heard from readers that that is one of the best parts of the book for them, to read these quotes. As far as the fictional stuff, which is the comic strips, I have a really good imagination. I am a writer of fiction, but they are based in what I know is real. So they're not fantasy in that that, oh, that kind of thing would never happen in a seventh grade. But they are really based on some of the email questions I get, some of the situations that tweens write to me about friendship issues. For example, one of the storylines in the book revolves around my character Jack, who is getting attention from a girl for the first time, and she wants him to ask her out, so she asks him out, and then Jack finds himself having less and less time to spend with his other friends, and he feels really torn about that. That's an issue that I hear about often from the kids who email me, so it wasn't too much of a stretch for me to create a whole comic strip storyline about what it feels like to want to be with your friends but want to be with your new boyfriend or girlfriend, and that feeling of, if I spend time with my friends, my girlfriend's going to be unhappy. If I spend time with my girlfriend, my friends are going to be unhappy. That kind of balancing act is very classic. So that's kind of how I get inspired by these. But they're universal topics, and that's why it's so much fun to read them. It's like, oh yeah, I've been in this situation before. This is really good. I'm interested in knowing how Jack is going to figure this out.
You know, we all know that respect is a pretty critical aspect in developing and sustaining lasting, healthy relationships. In your book, respect really is an overarching theme throughout the entire book. You talk about having respect for friends in each chapter and within each story in the comic strip. Can you go into a little bit more detail about the importance and power that respect can play in friendships?
I would love to, and I'd love to first have people who are listening here think about what the word respect actually means to them. We kind of have a sense of it, and you know, if you go to any school website and click on their mission statement, invariably the word respect is in there. But what does it look like in real life is what I ask students when I go to schools and do assemblies. What does the word respect actually look like in a friendship? And again, we need to think, because it's not something we think about very often. To treat someone with respect, what it looks like, well, you say please and thank you. Someone lends you something, you return it promptly, and it's in good shape, you didn't wreck it, that's respectful. If you make an agreement with someone to meet them on a Saturday at 4 o'clock, you're there at 4 o'clock, and if you can't be there, it's respectful to call them and let them know why you're late. It's really important to kind of detail what the behavior looks like. And then when kids start thinking more about, oh, well, if that is what it looks like, and in my friendship with Janine, I don't get a lot of that. So it may be an eye-opener. All of a sudden you're thinking a real friendship requires two-way respect, and you may be thinking this friendship is really lacking in that area, which doesn't mean you're going to toss Janine under the bus, but it may be an opportunity for you to think about how you have let things slip in the friendship. Like, for example, when she didn't meet you at 4 o'clock on Saturday and she showed up at 4:45 and she just said, okay, we can go to the movies now, and you were upset and worried and maybe angry that you didn't hear from her. But when she showed up 45 minutes late, you didn't say anything to her about it, then the message to Janine is, what I just did to Annie was okay. She didn't mind. So you, in that moment, you disrespected yourself by not speaking up. And I think on a broader level, you disrespected the friendship. So, you know, we all have responsibility in a friendship. The way I think about it is it's a two-way street, and you can't expect everything to be great on both sides of the street if you don't take care of your side. And your side includes speaking up when things aren't okay. And also, of course, treating the other person with respect. Make sure that what you ask of people is stuff that you're willing to do, and in fact that you do deliver on it.
You know, let's face it, in general, growing up is hard. It's tough.
Mm-hmm.
No matter who you are, you go through something that's life-changing. No, you know, it may be in middle school, maybe in high school. It doesn't matter. Relationships are tough. Growing up is tough. There's so many different decisions and pressures that we all deal with that it's often really hard to figure out what exactly we're supposed to do. And sometimes it's hard to decide when you need to get an adult involved, even when you feel pressure to keep a secret that is really hurting a friend. Can you go into a little bit of detail about the importance of taking action when a friend's health or well-being is at risk?
So important. I'm really glad that you asked the question, Kelsey, because sometimes we think that being a real friend means that we keep our mouths shut.
Mm-hmm.
And in the example I was just saying, keeping your mouth shut when someone breaks an agreement with you isn't good for the friendship. But when someone is engaging in high-risk behavior that worries you as a friend, you know it's not right. To keep your mouth shut then may be endangering the life of your friend. And sometimes I get these kinds of emails. My friend is doing something that's really dangerous, and I've lost a lot of respect for him, but I don't want to lose the friendship, and he told me not to tell anyone. So what do? I'm really worried. And I have to write back and say, this is too big an issue for you to be hanging on to by yourself. You're worried about it for a good reason, because your friend is making bad choices. And if you don't talk to an adult about this and get some help for your friend, because your friend needs help, then something terrible might happen. And if that did happen, and after the fact you knew that you could have spoken up and maybe helped your friend, how would you feel? So sometimes we're afraid we're going to lose the friendship by speaking up, because our friend says, if you tell anyone, you know, you're not my friend anymore, I'll never speak to you again. But you may end up losing the friend anyway if you keep your mouth shut, and you will feel so much better knowing that you did something to help. So when someone's health or well-being is in danger, it's a no-brainer. It's a deal-breaker in terms of the secrecy thing, as far as I'm concerned. It's not okay to ask a friend to stay silent when something dangerous is going on. It's just not. Now, sometimes you can negotiate with a friend. You can say, look, I can't keep this secret. Either you're going to talk to your parents about this, or I'm going to talk to an adult. Your choice. And that way, at least you're not going behind the friend's back. And I think that's important. And then they will know. The chances are that when a friend speaks up, the person who was doing the dangerous thing knows that it was out of love. And they may be angry, because they may get in trouble when their parents find out what was going on, but ultimately they will say, wow, I'm really glad that you did that, because I was going down a really bad path. So I really encourage kids always to first talk to their friend, tell them I'm worried and this is why, and I can't stay silent about this. So either you're going to talk to a counselor or to a teacher or to your parents about this, or I am, because I care about you too much to just not say anything. And I think that's a strong statement of friendship.
This book is such a great resource for youth who are looking for some guidance on building healthy relationships with their peers. You know, you talk about a ton of different issues, just like the one that you just talked about. You really get into how to build these relationships, how to build respect, how to do what's right with your friends. So let's kind of wrap this up with one final question. What message do you want people to take from this book? What do you hope people will gain from reading these stories and doing the exercises in it?
Well, I hope that my readers will have a fun time reading the book.
I know I did.
No, it's beautifully laid out. It's full color, and it's really interesting. And I think that it's the kind of book you can pick up again and again, because you may not be dealing with a specific friendship issue in March, but in June you are, and you remember you have the book. And so you pick it up again, and it makes more sense to you in a different way. But what I really want people to take away from the book is the very clear fact that they deserve real friends. They in order to get the kind of friendship we want, we need to be able to know what it takes to speak up when a friendship is kind of getting in the ditch. But the two-way street thing is the other main message. It's that it's not just the way you treat people in a friendship, it's the way people treat you. And we need to always remember that. So if I'm reading this book, for the first time people are thinking about their friendships, looking around and saying, okay, Julie, is she a real friend sometimes? Pretty much always, or pretty much never? What do I want to do about that? Because for me, the word friend is a very special word. And it goes hand in hand with respect. And if I don't feel respected in a friendship, I either want to speak up about it, or take a break from the friendship, or a temporary break, a vacation, or decide that this is not a good person for me to hang out with because I respect myself too much for that. And that would be a great thing because, as I said, we need to have good people around us. It helps us be better people.
Well, I hope everyone goes out there and picks up this book to read along with the other two books in this series, Middle School Confidential. This book really is the perfect book for your middle school kids or students, and even a great read for an adult looking for some insight into youth relationships. This book is really fun, like I've said before, and it's interactive, and it will for sure get your youth thinking about respect and building healthy relationships. So if you haven't picked up Annie Fox's book, Real Friends vs. the Other Kind, please visit www.circleofrespect.org to learn how you can order your copy today and to learn more about Annie and her book. We have this book featured as our April issue of the Circle of Respect Book Club. Annie, I can't thank you enough for speaking with us today.
My pleasure, Kelsey. You keep up the good work over there.
Oh, thank you. You too.